Earth Podcast with your host, Jake Weaver. Engineered by Cedric Swan.
Hey, everybody. We are back with another episode of Midnight on Earth. I'm your host, Jake Weaver, and we are here to bring you more knowledge, more light, and more love. Yet another incredible guest. We have an incredible guest today. Maria Shiko is here, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. Her life, her purpose, her mission, where we are at in the world. So many high spiritual concepts. We're just going to talk about amazing things. But first, I need you to do something for me. Follow me on Instagram at @midnight_on_earth. That is the address. You can follow me there. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you go to get your podcasts, click that button that connects us so you know exactly what's going on. When incredible people come on and they want to talk about their wonderful lives and what they've learned, you'll get that notification instantly. And lastly, tell a friend, tell someone that you know that would love this type of information, this type of podcast. You know the energy that we're bringing to the table, our frequency, and you know other people like yourselves that have a similar frequency. Bring them here. Let's match those frequencies. MidnightOnEarth.com. Okay, so we're going to talk to Maria almost, but I have to read her brief bio that we have here. So here we go. Maria Shiko is a former tenured university professor turned spiritual guide, intuitive life and business coach, and also a mentor. She is the author of 2 books, over 50 publications, over 100 presentations, and she is an award-winning educator with appearances on television and podcasts. Here we are. She teaches online, counsels, and so much more. She's here to share really good information with us. Hello, Maria.
Hello, and thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on your show, and I love your vibe. Love it.
Thank you. Well, our mission, our energy is to connect people, to help people get past doom and gloom and realize that we have the power to create any reality that we want as humans. We're designing the matrix in real time. So why not get a hold of that power and design the world that we want? Why not co-create the best possible experience? I'm just trying to help people understand they have the power to do that and just help them understand the entire thing's made out of love. What do you think about that? Love, right? It's all love.
I think that's who we are. That's how we need to find ourselves and reconnect with who we are. And it's not always an easy process, the journey to remember who we are. But I think it's all worth it. It's completely worth it to just really, really drop into our power and drop into who we are, because I think love encompasses so many things that we are.
Yes, absolutely. And realize that we have a purpose, even though it can be tricky at first for whatever reason. That's part of the human design. That's the human story. We chose as light beings to go through that process. It's all strange. It's beyond my 3D linear mind, but I know I did that and so did everyone else. And we're here to do that, to grow out of that. It's really amazing.
I love it. You know, it's, I know that, you know, maybe you think about specific questions to ask, but just a thought that comes to my mind today, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, this is so synchronistic that we're having this conversation today, because I was literally just moving. I did a meditation yesterday, which is about creation, about manifestation, about taking the power back and kind of reawakening ourselves from the dream. And the conversation we're having in the present moment, it's almost like a little bit of deja vu from yesterday. And I'm like, I'm loving this synchronicity.
Well, that's the divine. People call it God, the mystery deity, whatever you want to call it. That is some form of higher communication showing you that it's all connected and that you are on the right path. Yes, as humans, my God, manifestation. If we only knew our true power, we wouldn't have the low frequency behavior. We wouldn't have the things that we consider abhorrent or evil. It just wouldn't be there. But something is keeping humanity in a lower frequency state. It seems intentionally, or is it just part of our story? I don't know. What do you think about that? Are there forces slowing our evolution?
It's a big question. I'm thinking that, I mean, there is always this conversation about the battle between the dark and the light. And I feel, and this is actually coming from the book that I've been reading by Diane Cooper. She talks about the new earth and the coming of the new earth and the evolution towards the new earth. And I mean, I'm kind of agreeing with some ideas, and some other ideas I'm just finding, like I haven't fully examined the whole journey, but in her perspective, the idea is that we have chosen, in the same way that we have chosen to reincarnate now, but the earth itself has chosen that journey. And for several thousand years now, we have been going through like very primitive energies and very low density energies, but that was also a choice, a part of the evolution. And so our job now is to, how can we keep evolving? And I think my perspective with all of this is that how can we keep evolving without judgment? Because I think the natural tendency of, especially people, if you've gone through any kind of awakening experience, is to kind of separate yourself from all of that and think, okay, this is bad and the spiritual path is good and the other path is bad. And I'm using those like a very genetic terms, good and bad, right? But there is resistance, like underlying resistance to the old stuff. And I think it's moving away, it's gradually releasing, and so much awakening is happening. And at the same time, I mean, what I know from my personal journey is that, you know, first I've expanded so much spiritually, and then I had to go back into life. I had to really get into my human experience and into lots of shadows, a lot of things that I'm like, oh, I'm not like that, you know, thinking that I am not something, like rejecting parts of myself. And my personal journey has been kindness and self-compassion and extreme honesty and on the journey of self-acceptance. And through that self-acceptance, through the journey of finding wholeness between shadow and light, then I'm able to uncover who I am more and more, that I am love. But through that process of internal processes, then I'm able to see love not only as good, but see love as the complexities and the shadow and the light of my personality, which is reflected as the global personality.
Isn't that interesting how that works? There really is a microcosm, macrocosm aspect, which is why personal development is such a huge thing. Because when you work on yourself energetically and really raise your vibration, integrate these higher teachings, strangely, it does ripple out into the universe and actually change the universe. Does that mean the universe is an illusion? I don't think so. Or maybe on one layer, it's all connected, but there is something to be said for the ripple effect that happens when you really change yourself, because that's the only area that you have complete control over. You can't really control anything else, but you can have discipline and really try to dial yourself in as best you can. And like you said, there's a shadow aspect. No one's perfect. That's also the strange and complex aspect of the human experience. Why is it all like this? We don't know that aspect of the script yet. We will get there eventually. We'll be able to read that and understand. But for now, we just have to keep pushing towards the light. No one has perfection. We all have shadow work to do or have done. And that is all okay, Because again, it's a path of progression. It's moving forward. Your life is moving forward. And I think that what you're saying with the judgment is that people get attached to those things. They judge those things or other people, which is a huge hindrance in spiritual development, personal development.
I agree with you. I agree with you. It's not easy because it's resistance, right? I mean, this is the old world. Judgment is the old world. I mean, this is how we've been trained, and this is generational patterns of conditioning. Okay, this is good, this is bad. But it's both. When you have the stance on life and towards yourself, I have found it in the past that it's a challenging way to operate in the world. And I cannot say that I'm so smart and so amazing that I have figured it out, but I feel that kind of the life invited me to figure it out by presenting circumstances or presenting life situations where I had to question myself, right? And then if I judged something, and I judged, I mean, I've developed since the book came out, From Russia to Joy. I published that book 3 years ago, which seems like it's not a really long time, but I feel in 3 years, I have evolved and shifted so, so much. It's like 3 years, I feel it's been already 300 years since the publication of that book. And so, you know, it's been a lot, just a lot of transformation.
And that's all really powerful because you also make the choice, right? You recognize that with your intuitive mind, with your conscious mind, but there still is a free will choice that has to happen for development, for light, for love. Unfortunately, a lot of human beings feel like that is too difficult. It's too hard, so they don't do it. They go back into sedating themselves, however they do that, going back into the matrix. There's something comforting there. But
yes,
the free will choice happens, and people make that choice. Go ahead.
I was just saying, they are right that it's not an easy path, but I actually find the other way is harder.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Because when you are numb, when you medicate yourself, or when, I mean, I wouldn't say it's, I feel it's just, you know, partially it's the kind of this perpetual habit that kind of encourage this type of behavior, right? I mean, look at how many bars there are. There are not so many. I mean, on one block, there may be five bars, but if you put five spiritual centers on one block, they would be like, oh, this is a competition. We don't need so many spiritual centers, right? But in terms of like, if you have five drinking facilities on a single block, that's not a competition, that's fine. But it's not an easy path, because I find that it's a path that requires a lot of vulnerability and honesty and patience and discernment. And that's how you build your wisdom. And this is how your ego gets burned in many ways. And
absolutely.
The ego has a lot of habit of resisting death.
They do. And here's the thing. I truly believe that divinity gives people the information. At some point in their life, they get the high frequency information that allows them to make the choice. Some people choose not to. And like you said, it's harder because now they're in an illusion. Now they know they're in a false reality, the matrix, and they chose to exist in it, which is an artificial way to live there. So there's nothing motivating them, activating them, propelling them forward. It's just, it's very dense. There's a density there, but the earth itself is evolving. So those people, because they're a part of the earth, they will evolve themselves. I mean, it is unstoppable. Would you agree with that?
I believe so. I believe that in some level they have a choice, and in some level they do not have a choice, because the energy is shifting, the earth is shifting, the earth is evolving itself. And so it's like COVID, you know, like you can pretend that you're in a matrix, but I feel that there are some global events that shake us up, and no matter how much you numb yourself, you're going to look for something.
Yeah. Which is good for humanity. It is part of our story. Some people feel like there's going to be a timeline split. I don't agree with that, because when the timeline split happens, that's really a human perspective. It's like, what about the animals? So there's so much life on this planet. We can't just assume that our story is the prevailing story. However, there will be, like you said, a need for these people who are in density, trapped in density, to move forward, to progress forward. And some people feel like it will be a physiological activation. Like somehow the DMT in our brains will be activated by a solar flare or some spiritual information. And then that person, that density bound person, will then spring forth. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, I really believe in the timing. And I think this is, life has taught me that I cannot rush certain things, and there is divine timing. So I believe it's like a, you know, on the one hand, I'm grateful that there are still people who maybe have a little bit of density, because they are the ones who can do jobs that I cannot do. And, you know, like I cannot do those jobs. And so it's like, you know, it's like this whole thing that we need to be evolving, and then the technology needs to be evolving, and some, like, we need this shift, and I feel it's happening, but it's happening on its own time, which I fully don't have a full comprehension, but, you know, technology is evolving. There's some robotic evolvement that is happening. The computers are evolving. And there are some many, many jobs that are being outsourced that, you know, do not require this mundane, repetitive type of day. And I believe we're moving more towards authenticity and creativity and self-expression. And everybody will be spiritually connected eventually. And as we are moving towards that direction, like, it's just, how can I be patient? How can I accept what is, and actually even be grateful to a degree to what is, because, you know, like, I know that I won't be able, like, I cannot work in a factory, because, like, I, for me, this would be death,
right?
Like, just that, like, I would be so, it's just not my path. But there are people who still do this work, and, you know, that I wear clothes that they produce.
And some people love it. They actually love it.
Yes. I mean, if they love it, I'm so grateful if they love it. I don't know if everybody loves it, but.
Some people, in my early 20s, I did work in jobs like that. And there were those people that just love to get up every day, do the same thing, go to bed at the same time and get a paycheck. There was some comfort there, but ultimately there could be a spiritual deficiency that we don't realize. But I agree with you. We should be grateful for those people. Everyone is evolving, and they're all fulfilling a specific role. And no person's role is more important than another person's, no matter where they're at. We're just supposed to shine our light and fulfill our role with no ego attachment.
Exactly.
No ego.
Exactly. You know, I used to even, I had so much judgment towards military in the past. I had so much judgment. I'm like against everything. And I believe we are evolving towards different ways of solving conflicts, and internationally, hopefully collaborating more. But then, you know, there are some times where you need to put boundaries, and how grateful am I that I don't put those boundaries? Like, So I feel like I've gone through, I mean, and this is the same conversation that we started with. It's about kind of judgment and thinking that if you are on a spiritual path, that you are better, or if you are this or that. And I think life has shown me in the last few years, like, how can I drop into the place of gratitude and acceptance while doing my job, while continuing educating people, while continuing providing courses, information, and doing healing work, and helping them, and kind of honoring the process very much.
Right. And I think you're doing it. And also, it's just finding that path is part of the story itself. That is part of the growth, is dropping into that, because it can be hard. As spiritual people, we get super attached to the suffering that's going on. It's hard not to. Yeah. We actually have compassion for our fellow humans. So when other humans around the world are suffering, it freaking sucks. It's not good. It's a lower energy. And we can get past that, because the help that we have now is mind-blowing. We have angelics on our side. We have galactics on our side. We have the spirit of the earth on our side. We have divinity on our side. We have so many forces now pulling together to activate the human. It's just incredible. And where the human's going, we can't even really fathom that right now. But the biggest thing in this moment is, how do we burn off that negativity? How do we raise our vibration collectively? That seems like that's the goal right now.
Yes, yes. I mean, I don't know if we'll have to put everybody into shadow work processes.
Well, I'm hoping for a collective manifestation like we talked about, but I want to talk about a little bit about your youth in Russia. I'm noticing your beautiful accent, and you're from Russia. You said your father was Ukrainian, but you grew up in Russia. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I grew up, I was in Russia until I was 21, and then I moved to the US.
Wow. Okay. But you were a really spiritual, activated, sensitive person, but you're living in that mindset, that paradigm, that regime. What was that like? How is it different than the American Western spiritual experience?
So when I grew up in Russia, I was not spiritual. I was spiritual, like unconsciously I was spiritual, but I was not conscientiously spiritual yet. And I was sensitive because I was quite different from, you know, for my family. I was sensitive because I always rebelled and I always tried to find a different way, and I would speak up and I would be interested in personal development since I was a teenager. And so when I was growing up in Russia, it was not necessarily something unusual, because you know, when you are in the environment where everyone is doing something in a particular way, it's common, you know, you don't think that there is anything wrong with it. I think in retrospect, well, you know, the US culture and Russian culture, they're quite different. I think in Russian culture, there is more, I don't know if it's still there as much, there is more of a sense of community, or I don't know if community and communism are very different things, because communism suppresses your individuality and it tries to kind of shame you or put you in this box of sameness. And at the same time, there was a level of care for your fellow human beings. So for example, when I was growing up, there was this sense that we need to look out for each other. And if there is somebody, another student who is struggling with grades or in class, then we need to provide some form of service or help so that they can, you know, catch up and understand. So there was this level of care for another fellow human being. There was not so much individualism as it is here. And a part of that, kind of the shadow part of that, is that standing out or maybe expressing your personal opinion or thinking for yourself was not encouraged. And, you know, you kind of, the shadow part of that you needed to be the same as other people.
But did that feel fair energetically while you were there? Now, I know you left there early on in your life, but like you're saying, in retrospect, looking back, I mean, was there a tension because people realized that this was suppressing the human spirit?
I think the tension is that the fear, the energy of fear, is so prevalent that it's, and I believe this to be even true now. I haven't been back in 5 years because of the global events.
Sure.
But every time I come back, I feel fear in the collective consciousness. And so I think this fear is very much kind of being reinforced, especially with the recent political events, where when you try to speak up, it doesn't mean that, you know, And when you try to speak up, you're put in jail or you are suppressed. Or I know that in the last year, I think close to 1 million people immigrated from Russia. So it's a very, very large number that Wow. immigrated. And so I feel that politically, it's not, there is just a lot of fear. And even, you know, when you have glimpses of kind of clear way of thinking, or you have glimpses of a different way of thinking, you can express it maybe at the kitchen table, but you don't necessarily can take it to the next level. Like, it would be hard to do the kind of business that you and I are doing there, even though I know now that more and more people do try to do this work.
Wow. And that's something I was wondering about, the new age perspective, the higher frequency information. It seems to not, obviously it doesn't resonate with the communist perspective, but it seems to be a newer development in Russia. Like, people are activating to this, or was it always hidden?
It exists. It exists. I believe it exists. I know that some friends of mine, they talk to me about festivals, new age festivals or community music Wow. festival, dance festivals. There are some shamanic experiences that do take place. I personally am interested in exploring this stuff in Russia because when I was there, I didn't have, I mean, yoga is very common, right? Like, you can do yoga, you can do, there are several Vipassana centers, which is like a Buddhist tradition, Buddhist perspective. And so I think it's possible to do this thing as long as they're not in contradiction with the mainstream philosophy, so to speak.
Interesting.
It's possible to do some of them.
But do you think there's something feeding on that fear? Because with the information that you have now, you know that there's higher astral entities and lower astral entities, and some of those lower entities feed on energy itself. And when you have millions of people in this kind of fear bubble, the anxiety that you're talking about in the collective consciousness over there, do you think there's something feeding on that? Like, there's something stoking that to keep that energy flowing?
Yes. I mean, if I were to be completely honest, I think it's a yes, but it's not a malicious yes, you know, because I've had entities removed from my spiritual aura and I think what happens is like it's like if you're an alcoholic and there is somebody on the other side who is on the same vibration that you are, they're likely there. They're like, okay, they're there for protective purposes. Like, let me protect you. But it's fear-based and addiction-based energy. And so if the entire country is like that, I mean, of course.
Wow. That's why I really feel like that's happening on so many levels, because you think about places like China as well, which in a way seems even more restrictive. But there's just a lot going on in a lot of dimensions right now. But the ascension process, like we said earlier, is unstoppable. And do you feel like Russia as a country, do you feel like there's this kind of like fear of not just the world events and things that are happening, that there's this outside force, almost like the devil, that's like, you could say, mm-hmm. just to be very simple and plain, that this corrupting energy coming in that could destabilize Russia. It's every time I see Vladimir Putin speak and things like that, and hear Russian officials speak, it seems like they have this fear, like there's this demon at the gates that will just annihilate the country itself and their national identity. And if they don't fight that demon, then it's over. Like, that's the energy I pick up from that person and the officials.
So that is so interesting. I personally do not believe in devil.
Right. I don't either, but just using that as a metaphor.
Right. Because I mean, I know the devil, quote unquote, is an angel that works for God. So like they're on the same team with God. So I don't believe like in devil as like the pure evil force, but I know that there are some really dark energies on this planet. I mean, people who commit very, very dark actions on this planet. I mean, I don't necessarily consciously explore that energy personally, but because it just requires a lot of light to go there. It requires a lot of like maybe collective, like maybe there's a group of people who hold light, who can explore in a sense of like enlightening or bringing more and more light to those energies. And I think I would not do this myself.
No, no, I wouldn't either. But do you feel like there's some validity? Is there any validity to that perspective, that there's some sort of demonic force that wants to corrupt, destabilize, and just destroy any integrity that Russia has as a country, if it has any?
I mean, I can only speak for myself, okay? I can speak from my experience. And I think from my experience, like I have been through, when you intentionally, while you are on a spiritual journey and you are on the journey of the evolution, you get tempered and you get like, it's the game of discernment and it's the game of how can you move through your shadow? How can you move through those forces without judgment, even when fear comes up? And so with Russia, for example, I mean, if people are not conscientious and they're not, everybody is on a spiritual path, but if they're not intentionally on the spiritual path, right, then they have no choice. There's no free will, so to speak, because they don't do inner work, because they don't practice discernment. They don't practice personal development. And I think I think I'm not the right person. I can only speculate. I don't think I have enough expertise to, I just want to like,
but just intuitively, I mean, do you feel like it is that way? It could be that way.
I have so much optimism in my, like in my personality. I'm such an optimism that I personally, again, this is not from the expertise level, but more as a personality level, I have so much hope for this planet. And
yes.
And so I personally believe that even when we move through periods of darkness, there is light on the other side. This is what I personally believe.
Yes. And I think that Russia as a culture, as a country, is so beautiful and amazing. There's just this vein of problems, just like China. 99% of the Chinese people are amazing human beings, but there's this 1% that is choosing to do things that are terrible. So you can't fault the entire country. That happens a lot in America. And it really makes me cringe as a spiritual person, because people will blanketly say things like, well, Russia this, and Russia that, and Russia that. And then, you know, the lady that happens to be working at the desk in the office is Russian. She's the sweetest lady in the world. What could she be possibly doing? Nothing. That's the thing. So it's like people need to realize that there is no other. There is no enemy. It's just a reflection of our own projections, and we can just correct those things. We're one human family. I think the division is really not a positive thing, but also really propagated by the media, especially here in America.
I see that. I mean, I think that there are ways in which people can be more empowered. And, you know, one ways that I was personally thinking is just bringing more books or education about how to raise children. Or if, I mean, the thing with education, it's a little bit governed from, you know, from Moscow, but I feel that when you start, like the conditioning starts the minute you're born. And so if there is just more information given to women, to families about how to raise children differently, and how to do, whether it's respectful parenting or Montessori parenting or any other kind of forms of parenting where you give agency to a human rather than taking it away, and you are allowing a person to think rather than telling them what they need to say or how they need to be. I think this is the first step of just changing the collective consciousness, but that requires, you know, that requires change on the kind of a more of a grassroots level rather than the top down level. And it's a process. It's surely a process. And we do need help from many angels and archangels and galactic forces and any other forces that are possible to make it happen, because Yes. It's a lot of evolution.
Yeah, well, our evolution is tied to their evolution. Their evolution is tied to our evolution. The entire universe itself is evolving, and we're all connected. So that is another reason why the ascension of humanity is kind of unstoppable. We have so much help, and they're already there as our models. But when did you decide in your life that you were ready to start teaching people? You have a book. You actually have two books, but you're out there teaching people, being a light for positive energy, for love. When did you really start doing that?
I feel I'm deciding it every day still.
But there had to be a point where you were like, look, I need to get out there and start affecting people in a big way. Like, I need to interact with groups of humans and just get the light out there.
Well, Jake, do you want me to lie or do you want me to be honest?
Always be honest.
Okay. I feel it's been a process. It's been a process. And sometimes I'm like given a kick in my butt to like go and do it. And I'm like, no, I don't want to say what I want to say. And last year, actually, there was a big shift because I finished my master's in metaphysics.
Wow.
And my teacher, one of my teachers, it was before the graduation. She's like, Masha, that's my Russian name, Masha. Maria is like more of a formal name. She's like, Masha, you got to go do stuff. you cannot just sit back. So you got to go do things. And I think there was more momentum in the past year, even though I was teaching before, I had my business before, I was doing things, I wrote these books before, you know, I've been teaching meditation for 10, 12 years. I was teaching yoga for like 14, 15 years. I had my coaching and business for a decade. But it feels, you know, like there is a shift from being naive about those things. Like there was in the beginning, it was like more of a teenage excitement and a little bit of a degree of naivete or kind of having rosy glasses on about spirituality or how the change happens and kind of, oh, let's go change the world. And tomorrow everybody joins us and everybody will be happy and loving each other. You know, like there was this kind of energy in the beginning. And then after a decade of being on, more than a decade now of being on this path, I'm like, well, you know what? Like there are challenges and there are setbacks and maybe it's not about changing the entire world, but maybe it's about impacting just 10 people or maybe having one conversation with someone, like with a client, and it changes the direction of their life and the trajectory of their life. So I feel before I had very grandiose, like Napoleon style plans for changing the world. And I'm like, now I'm more tempered and more like realistically optimistic.
Well, you'll find though that you will attract those situations that will expand your service, but it's okay if the service is localized. I've learned that myself as well. Sometimes just having a conversation with someone randomly and telling them something enlightening and then they leave, that has a ripple effect that you can't understand as a human. You think it's simple, like, oh, I talked to this person, they gained something, maybe they told their friends, but it's so much bigger than that. Because of our interconnectedness, that itself could change the world. So that's why those localized experiences, they have the same value. Even though big personalities like ourselves, we want to get out there with giant bullhorns and just get everybody on the same page, right?
But I mean, that's the thing, because I don't want to be like, you know, I have to temper within myself. I'm like, how am I different from a priest who is, preaching in a church, who is telling like, think the way I do, you know, it's like you have to believe in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is coming and, you know, there is life after death and you have to go to hell or heaven. And so I personally I think there was lots of introspection for myself. I'm like, I don't want the new age spirituality just become a new Christianity or a new, you know, anything else. Like, I'm like, it's okay that there are people who believe in Jesus. It's okay that there are people who believe in Muhammad. It's okay that there are people who believe in the sun and the wind and the rivers, you know, like it's okay. Like, I don't have to convert anyone, but I think that what is important is taking responsibility, like really, really taking responsibility for our life, no matter who you believe in, no matter like taking it. And this is more like metaphysical of how can we take responsibility for our actions, for our thoughts, for our choices, for the energy we put out. That is, I think, universal to all belief systems and religions.
Yes, taking that responsibility, shifting the energy to making those choices, the high frequency choices, but then also being able to forgive yourself. I think that that's something that's really hard for people, especially people that are on a spiritual path intentionally, like you're saying. It's that when you make mistakes, ooh, it hurts that much more, but you have to be able to forgive yourself as well.
Oh, and you do make mistakes.
Constantly. We all do. It's weird. You try not to. You try to adjust the algorithm. You're like, okay, I'm not going to do that again. But things happen, you know, mistakes are made, and that's part of the process. But yes, choosing the conscious choice, making sure when situations present themselves, you take a hold of that. You take responsibility for your choices and try to make the best one, but ultimately realizing that no one's making you do anything. It really is all you.
Yes. Yes, it's all you. The God and the goddess, all of it.
Well, it is. That's the thing. We have divinity within us. That divine spark, that light that connects all human beings is a universal light, and it's connected directly to source. All the information, all the energy, it's just right there for us. But I do want people to realize that we are God, but we're also not God at the same time. Like when people say, oh, we're God, I'm God, all of a sudden their ego attaches to it. And then, well, some people end up in the psychiatric ward, but other people just let that fuel something that isn't real.
Mm. I mean, it's a process, right? It's a journey, because we are gods. We co-create and we choose, and we, as you shared, like we project a lot of things, and we create stories, and we create our realities. And there are, of course, there are limitations we have. So it's the grandiosity and I'm better than someone else. Like in that way, yes, you can be God, but so are six other billion people on this planet, you know? So
absolutely.
You gotta live with the fact that you share divinity with six other billion people.
And recognize the light within them and just realize that no matter where people are, and you might not agree with their choices, they might have done things that are low frequency, and you're like, you know, now you're in jail for the rest of your life. But you have to still realize that within all life, including all humans, is that light. And that light gives us equality. That's what makes us special. That's what makes us one human family. It's really a powerful thing. And also, I did want to address something else you were talking about, and just being out there as a teacher. You only have to be a couple steps ahead of someone to teach them. You don't have to have light years of growth to feel like you can get out there. You can just be a couple steps ahead, and that's okay. Because I think the important thing is service and getting out there. When you have these downloads, when you have this information given to you, you have to share it as best as you can.
Yes, I agree with you 100%.
So tell me more though. Tell me more about your growth process and how, after coming to America, you really started to tap into your spiritual side. And then what made that kind of expand?
Suffering.
Really?
To be quite honest, I don't think I was intentionally seeking spirituality, but I have to thank my ex-husband who, I feel there was just lots of love and also lots of suffering. And after separating from my ex-husband, I had to, actually, while we were still together, I started leaning towards the spiritual path. This is when I went on to like 10-day silent retreat, and then I went to another one, and then I went to another one, and I started meditating on a more regular basis. And I mean, it was, the fact that the relationship did not work, or maybe it worked on a spiritual level, but it did not work on a human level, you know, on the spiritual level, it worked because we had to awaken. We had to awaken each other. We had to start kind of mirroring back to each other the fact that we're contributing towards the dysfunctionality in our relationships. And I think what happened after we separated finally is that, I mean, I've gone through a lot of shame and feeling guilty and maybe taking too much responsibility. I think this is kind of the side of the wounded feminine, the shame and unworthiness. And it's like the wounded feminine aspect. And so I had to work through that and really come back to self-compassion and self-love, and also see how it is my responsibility, but also it's something that has been up, you know, before me for many, many, many generations. And so I, to a level, I did not have a choice, and I did the best I could given the knowledge and the circumstances and the awareness I had at the time. And so did he. And so, you know, it's like, and I know that part of my purpose in this lifetime is to break those patterns and to stop the toxicity in the relationship. This is part of my purpose. Like, I have other aspects of my purpose, but a big part of my purpose is to stop karma in my lineage. And so it's, and so I stopped and I worked my, it's okay to curse on
yes,
the show, right?
Please, yes, go ahead.
Okay. I worked my fucking ass off to to stop that lineage, because, you know, I have from my mother's line and from my father's line, I have a lot of very toxic patterns that are not working, and not only in the relationship, but in life in general. And I think this is kind of the aspect of spirituality that sometimes is not fun, because it's almost like the car is driving off the cliff, and not only you have to stop the car, but you have to, you know, do it in a way that, you know, with awareness and with grace. And so now I'm married again, and it's a, you know, like, we're doing amazingly. It's a completely different relationship, but it has taken me a decade to work through those inner patterns and through all of this ancestral, you know, thought processes and insecurities and fears and whatever else that is like not wholeness, to come to this point. And now we have a child with my current partner, and the way we parent our child is so different. It's completely different from the way I was being parented. You know, and in that way, for me, spirituality is very applied to life. Like, this is what gets my fire. This is what I'm so passionate about personally. This is where I can talk for hours about how spirituality applies to every single day and to everyday life of, like, relationships and how we do money, how we do work, how we do health, how we do community, like, how we do self-care. Like, all of those things, like, to me, this is so, I'm very, very passionate about those things because I have lived it. Like, I'm living it every single fucking day.
Well, I think it's interesting that you're the black sheep of your family. Like you said, you're the one that was always questioning and everything. And then you're the one ending the ancestral trauma. And it seems like that frequency of being manifests within family lines to do that type of work. Like you said, it's not your whole purpose for being here, but smashing that ancestral trauma, because those patterns, they have some kind of residual energetic effect on the collective consciousness. Yes. So every time we break that trauma, the ancestral trauma, it's healing the greater energy field of humanity. And that's part of our purpose. I think it's our generation. I know we're similar age. So it's, I think a lot of those type of beings came in to do this work because so much has been built up. My God, decades of trauma, decades of abuse, but we were happy to do it as light beings, as light workers.
We were happy to do it. Yes.
We signed up. We were like, sure, here. I don't know if we knew what we were getting ourselves into, but I will say we happily signed up.
Yes. Sign me up.
But humanity itself does have a goal. like all of your spiritual teaching, you work on yourself, you realize that humanity itself does have a goal, which is to create heaven on earth, to truly create a united earth for all beings. Under love, we can do that. Again, we have that manifestation power like we were talking about earlier. And the conflict, we can change how we define the conflict. So if we raise our vibration, we're off another octave. So what we considered lower frequency behavior then could have been high frequency behavior in this lower octave. We have so much potential, but it seems like that's the destiny of humanity, to really get to the point where we're all one together.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree. I mean, you know, there are some predictions that this is happening by 20, like in the next 10 years, 10 to 12 years, like there will be a big, big shift. I mean, if that's the timeline prediction, I'm excited to see that. But I see that there is a lot of, if we just take those two countries you have mentioned, which is Russia and China, by the way, my current partner is Chinese. So I am intimately familiar with the psychology and consciousness of both countries. And I mean, of course, more intimately with Russian culture and consciousness, but from my partner and just from visiting China, I'm familiar with that as well. And to me, when I go visit them, sometimes those thoughts come up like, oh my God, we have so far to go. We have so, so far to go. But sometimes you never know how consciousness changes. Sometimes it's not up to me. Sometimes it's up to the divine to create those more dramatic shifts.
Yes. And if you look at the history of humanity, even with the atrocities and the terrible things that have happened, overall, you can see a path of evolution happening. You can see that humans are growing and love is expanding. We are more accepting than we've ever been. We are understanding those higher concepts of love. It's just some of the old world paradigms and information still have to be shook off. And it seems like the only way we can do that is personal development for now.
I mean, personal development, and hopefully through this personal development, there are some humans who are interested in leadership and changing things. Because I mean, one of the lines of work that I do is that I work with leaders and entrepreneurs. And so what I see happening is that some leaders, and there are different levels of leadership, but there is awakening happening throughout the whole structure of the society. And hopefully, you know, if your purpose, you know, everybody has a different purpose, but if your purpose is to govern, if your purpose is to be the head of something or head of a company or head of a university, and there are several beings like that whose purpose align, then it's possible to see the shifts on those levels as well. But it does take time.
It could be 12 years. It could be 1,000 years. Either one is fine, because eventually we will get there. And the work that we're doing, everything that we're putting in, the energy, it's going somewhere. We just have to let go of that attachment. And I'm telling you, people, if it's 1,000 years, we will reincarnate. We will all be there together anyway.
Jake and I, we will happily reincarnate for another.
Exactly. I might not have the same body, but you know. Well, this has just been an incredible interview. We've talked about so many cool things. Tell me a couple more things that you feel like the audience should know. We have such a big audience worldwide. We're in 180 countries now. What do you think the human consciousness, the collective human consciousness, should know right now?
Let me tune in.
Okay.
The first message that's coming through for me is learning how to be kind towards yourself. So this is the first message that's coming through, because without kindness towards yourself, it's really impossible to develop anywhere. And so the more kind you are towards yourself, especially in the moments of struggle or in the moments of failure or in the moments of having big goals, and maybe those goals somehow are not materialized or manifested tomorrow or the next second. You know, there is maybe this a degree of impatience, and how can we drop into this energy of kindness and self-compassion? Because the image that I'm shown right now is that you can only create love and kindness towards another if you have it towards yourself. You cannot give somebody something that you do not have. So this is the first message that's coming through. The second message is, this is interesting. I'm just like in a channel right
now. I'm loving this.
So the second message that's coming through is around money. There is a lot of scarcity. There is still a lot of scarcity mindset in the context of money. And it is important to tend to money. It is important to kind of grow your bank account and to not let that be the impediment towards your spiritual evolution. Because what I think it's in the collective consciousness, and this is why I need to channel this now, but the feeling is that there is a collective thought is, I don't have money or I don't have time for this right now. And the spiritual message is that is not true. You have both money and time for your spiritual evolution. I'm like, okay, let this roll.
Well, it is really important. Look, you need time and money freedom to develop yourself fully. You're here on earth to develop yourself. Things cost money. Travel tickets, you want to go around the world? That's going to cost money. Yes. You have to feed yourself. You have to house yourself. And it's okay to attract abundance. We have this idea, which I believe is given to us by religion, that there's this finite amount of everything, that we could just run out of everything at any time, which I believe came from certain periods in human history where maybe scarcity was a real thing because of their environment. However, it's still a mental experience. When you realize that everything is made out of one thing, you can strip it all the way down, pre-energy, pre-everything, and it's made out of one thing, and that thing is infinite, and that is God, consciousness. We don't know what it is, but that's what everything's made out of. So there is no scarcity. There is no lack of anything. You just have to harmonize with what your needs are. Yes. Stay true to love and divinity. Have faith that God loves you and is going to take care of you, and you'll attract everything you need. Anything you need.
Maybe this is why I needed to channel that thought so that this thought is elevated. This thought is elevated. This thought is lifted up and transformed.
Yes, we need
this. And the last message that's coming through, this is interesting. They're like completely unrelated, but also I guess are very, very related. I love it. Like I love when you get into a channel and then you just go with it. And the third message is pay attention to your children. Pay attention to your children, because the feeling sometimes is that the image that I'm being shown right now is that sometimes children are being taken as a nuance, or maybe like, oh, they don't understand this or they don't get it. But the feeling is that the children that are coming now on earth, they are of higher and higher frequency. They're a higher and higher consciousness, and they see everything. They absorb everything. They are like sponges. And I think the reason this final message is coming through is to pay attention what you say, how you say, the kind of attention you give, even the way you behave, the way you relate to your spouse at home, and the way the home environment is, it really impacts the children, and it has an impact on the planet as a whole.
Wow, that's huge. That's huge, because not only are you co-creating a reality, you're programming another being as a parent to co-create a reality. So you want to give them the best information. If you're modeling paradigms that are from the old world or low frequency, that's what they're going to emulate, and that's what they're going to perceive reality as. And exactly. We want those little reality creators to perceive reality as infinite and being able to be whatever we want it to be, right? So that's another thing. Yes. Wow, my God. This is amazing. What a great conversation we've had. I've loved talking with you. This has been so cool.
I loved it myself. I loved it.
Thank you. I want to tell people where to find you. So your website is mariachico.love. And I'm going to spell this for you. It is mariachico.love. And that's where you can find her. She has books, From Russia to Joy, A Journey of Spiritual Awakening, which is a really cool book. My Brilliant Money book. We were just talking about that. For joyful and creative living, it takes energy to make things happen. In fact, she has e-courses. So if you want to learn from her independently on your own time, at your own pace, all around the world, you can check that out there on her website. And if you're loving her energy like I am, you're loving her frequency, there's one-on-one mentorship programs that you can tap into, consultations. She can talk to you and you can develop this relationship and she can help you. All of that, again, is there at mariachico.love. And again, Maria, thank you so much for being here. This has been amazing. We're definitely having you back on.
Thank you, Jake. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, I love the stream of consciousness aspect. I love us resonating and becoming one thinking organism, plugging our two brain batteries together to try to bring in light. Absolutely amazing. Thank you for being here. All right. Well, please hold through the outro music. And everyone, I hope you learned something today. I did. And just remember, no judgment. All love, we're one human family, and we will see you next week, midnight on Earth. Hey, everybody. We're back with another afterthought. This is the afterthought. Hello, everyone. It's been a minute since I've taken time to reach out in the afterthought dimension to connect with you. Welcome to the afterthought dimension. The afterthought. The world is far more than we even realized, far more than we can comprehend. We can stretch out. We can go so far out. But there's information past that point. It can feel overwhelming, but stay unattached as the world evolves, as it mutates. Realize that you and divinity are connected in such a way that the world could change on a microcellular level and nothing could break that bond. This podcast has grown so much since I started, and I just thank God so much for the opportunity to be out there serving and bringing you this really good information. I'm just trying to do my part, play my role. Just like I said in this episode, we're all exactly where we are supposed to be, strangely, and as strange as it sounds. But when you have the realization and you interface with the high information and you have these downloads, it's your job to share that energy, to spread that light by utilizing your talents, developing yourself, and fulfilling your purpose. Talent plus service equals purpose. We have so much help. There are beings that if you visually perceive them, you would cry. Light, pure light. And they're out there thinking of us. Praying in their own way for us, for our evolution. They want our story to unfold just the way that we do, that our spirit truly wants to unfold as humans. Service, forward progression, humanity, love, a united earth. Spirituality, technology. Symbiotically advancing. Each force pushing the other force higher and faster. All in the name of love. All in the name of the Most High. You can conceive it. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. And people, I can conceive it. Can you? Do you have the faith? Can you believe it? We can achieve it together. One human family. The rainbow family of living lights. Holding space in the earth plane, yet connected to the lights of the universe. Our great Earth Mother, that provides for us in the name of the divine. We are so grateful. Thank you for hosting us, for allowing us to develop and evolve. Without you, we're not alive. Without the light of the divine powering you and powering us, there's nothing. To our fellow light beings throughout the beautiful universe, we are awakening. We are coming. What we can share with each other will elevate us both. It will be absolutely amazing. And through the great mystery, we will see our commonalities with these other beings. Matter or not matter based. The Afterthoughts. A rare excursion into ethereal dimensions within the realm of midnight on Earth. I want to thank you so much for being a listener, for sharing in this frequency. It's truly a unique frequency. The Midnight on Earth frequency. Thank you for resonating with that, for sharing that energy and shedding the light, getting it out there. Listener, podcaster, spiritual being, angel, extraterrestrial, we are all fulfilling our roles in a beautiful tapestry of activity, all moving forward towards the light. Keep sharing this podcast with people. Look at the episodes we've created. Look at the energy, the information. It's so powerful. It's so high frequency. It needs to be everywhere. Help me get it everywhere. Everywhere. Thank you again, everyone. I love you so much. We're all in this together. The rainbow family of living lights. The universal family of living lights.